Well, let me bring our celebration sermons to a close. I want to talk to you about giving thanks to God through Jesus. We actually had that in one of the verses earlier, a different verse from this. But it dawned on me that we don't think about this much in prayer, that actually you have the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved in our prayer. We generally address, it's not wrong, we have an examples in the scripture of praying to Jesus. It's not usually called Jesus, it's called the Lord, but the Lord refers to Jesus in the New Testament. Stephen, as he's being murdered, stoned to death, called upon the Lord. What my thought here is that even in praying, we do it through Jesus. So the verse is Colossians 3:17. Now he says, how expensive is this? And whatsoever ye do in word or deed. That's pretty much everything, isn't it? Word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, by Jesus. So even the giving of thanks we're to do to God the Father by Jesus Christ. There's a concept there that you have no access to God the Father, the holiest of all, except through Jesus Christ. And even in the prayer of thanksgiving, it's not acceptable except through Christ. That's an interesting concept. The world often celebrates the various religions. And I can appreciate the amazing architecture that's done by people that are devoted to their religions. My wife and I visited the Vatican when we were in Rome, and just immensely decorated. And, you know, I told my wife aside, I said, what gets me here is that people were giving to make sure they got to heaven. You know, these lampshades are made of the skin of widows who gave everything so they could get to heaven, you know, figuratively. Not like the Nazis who made actual lampshades out of skin. But when they didn't have food to eat, they gave money to get out of purgatory. The only acceptable address to God the Father is through Jesus. So you can be as sincere as you can be, but if it's not done through Christ, it's not accepted to God, period. So in word or deed, as you engage in speech or work, do it as if commanded by Jesus. This is what it means, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. David told some of his men to go speak to Nabal and greet him in my name. You get that idea of the underling speaking in the name of the king, the master, the ambassador speaking in the name of his government. That's by his authority. So whatever you do in speech or work, words or activities, do it as if commanded by Jesus. So it means you'd have a strength of purpose. You already know that what you're doing is okay with Christ. And as though he sent you on a mission to say certain things or to do certain things, that's the way we're to do it, whatsoever you do. But then we are to give thanks to God for it. For what? Whatsoever you do. We're to give thanks to God for whatever we say, for whatever we do. And giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This brings up just a number of thoughts. I guess I have, seven. Well, that's me. The first one is this, and I really took this from Albert Barnes, but the best servant, if you wanted to be the best, is a thankful servant. Not a begrudging one. Not a grumbling, okay, I'll do it, you know. But a thankful, that would be the best. Here's what he says. He is most likely to do his duty well who goes to it with a heart overflowing with gratitude to God for his mercies. And he who is likely to perform his duties with the most cheerful fidelity, faithfulness, is he who has the deepest sense of the divine goodness in providing a savior for his lost and ruined soul. If your mind and heart are just overwhelmed in thankfulness to God, you are motivated to be the servant that is the best. It's not that you're trying to be better than the other servant, more done, better quality, whatever. You're doing it to the best of your ability for the one that you love. Another is that in the book of Colossians, right on through, you find that the apostle gives certain exhortations, or encouraging them to do certain things, and always ends it by talking about thanksgiving. Give thanks when you learn how to serve. First of all, notice the exhortation to mature living. We find this in Colossians 1, 9 through 11. That you might be filled, he says he was praying this, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, filled with knowledge of wisdom and understanding, spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Patience and long-suffering sounds like somebody who's enduring some tough times, but you're doing it with joyfulness. So that's to verse 11. And then what does he say to cap it off with verse 12? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You are not fit to be a child of God without God's work. You are not fit to live forever in the life that you had before Christ. So giving thanks unto the Father. The second exhortation I noticed was the exhortation to consistent living in chapter 2, verse 6, and you can read other verses, but as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. See, in the same way that you received him, by grace, through faith, walk that way. It's not all about you now, it's about you yielding to him now, all the more. And then the next verse, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thanking God for your spiritual growth, the ability to live consistently as a Christian. And then another is in our passage in chapter 3. He leads up to our verse here by an exhortation to harmonious living. It's a long passage, but I wanted to give you the whole concept. Verses 12 to 14. Put on, therefore, as the elect, as God's chosen, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. We don't say bowels anymore. I love you with all my bowels. We say heart, you know. But it's another physical organ, you know, it's about as disgusting if you had a beating heart, you know, and put it on your Valentine card. We understand the idea behind it. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, you know, letting them do it, forbear, forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel or complaint against any, even as Christ forgave you. That always, to me, is the thing. See, I don't want to forgive him. I want him to suffer every time he sees me. As Christ forgave you. Oh, yeah, that's right. So also do ye. Okay. Being Christ-like, that's the thing, isn't it? And above all these things, put on charity, true Christian love, which is the bond of perfectness. The person hurt me. I know, maybe they'll change if you love them. You know, that's the lesson that we've learned from Beauty and the Beast. You have to love it before it changes. Huh? That's a good law. Good thought. It was the loving that changed him from a beast. So it changed me from a beast. In Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Then again in the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4, the exhortation to relational living. This is the long passage I was thinking of. And I highlighted it to show you what he's doing. So he starts out, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. As it is fit in the Lord. Okay. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Love is loving self-sacrifice as Christ did for the church. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, not just the things you want to obey, in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged, want to give up. Servants, even slaves in that day, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, just getting by with what they see, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Serve them as though you were serving God, because you are serving God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. It says, serve your master, your employer, as if you got that message from God himself. And God gives you the reward, a reward in heaven, not a passing paycheck. See? But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which you have done, and there is no respect of persons. And then the passage actually closes with chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, the employer, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You're not the ultimate master. So don't tick off your master by being a poor master yourself. And then Colossians 4:2, he ends it by saying, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. So in all of this, there is an exhortation to try to grow, to develop, to be better, but do it with thanksgiving. Always come back to what God has given you. This isn't falling under the load of saying, he wants too much of me. This is you saying, he gave so much for me. When Pastor Porter was growing up, talking to his dad who rejected the Lord, he said, well, you're just trying to be better than everybody else to get to heaven. He says, no, I already have heaven. He's already given me heaven. You're trying to earn more rewards in heaven. He says, no, he's already given me everything. I'm a son of God. I'm inheriting the inheritance of God. Well, then why are you doing it? He says, I'm trying to say thank you. I'm trying to say thank you for what you've done for me. And this is that motivating factor. The third one is this thought. I was thinking word and deed. As direction comes from God, praise goes to God. There's the reciprocal thing. Word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus means we know what his direction is. So what we're saying, what we're doing, has come through his direction. So we're very faithful in understanding what God wants of us so that we can do it in his name, according to his authority. By the name of Jesus, I do this. By the name of Jesus, I say this. You see. And you can show the verse. But then he says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So by Jesus, you see. So we're doing it in his name because we have his direction. But we turn that back then to thanksgiving to God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. So there's that reflection. As he's taught you what to do, you've received direction from him. Now turn that around and give him the thanksgiving for all that he's given you. Another thought concerning this, because of word and deed, recognize your dependency. One of the things we thank God for is that he's given us what we couldn't do ourselves, you see. Recognize your dependency on God for word and deed. Let's expand that thinking. Word is reason, and deed is strength, ability. You would not be able to think of the words. You would not have the ability, the strength, without his enablement. And so this verse actually urges us to recognize our dependency. This turns us back to thanksgiving, doesn't it? Turns us back that we couldn't do it ourselves. We wouldn't be able to think it through. We wouldn't be able to accomplish it. The fifth one was this. Acknowledge your privilege of service. We're thanking God because we couldn't do it on our own. God gave you your spiritual gift and your spiritual activity. The world is filled with people who are trying to serve their God. Some of them are doing it by killing other people. Our God isn't like that. There are those who are trying to serve their God by beating themselves with whips and cutting themselves with swords until they leave a bloody trail on the path. Our God doesn't ask that. Our God is not pleased with that. It's disgusting, see. Acknowledge your privilege of service. Here is the God who is love, who has said, I have a job for you. Would you be willing to do this for me? Yes. You've given me everything worthwhile in my life. Thank you for trusting me to get some things done in your name and giving thanks. The sixth thing I noticed here is the sense of his mercy of salvation. See, all of this that this verse is talking about is serving him in word or deed. But all that we do in the name of Jesus has come by our salvation, by his grace. The word of God is pretty clear. And it says, if you're not saved, if you're not right in your heart with God, he doesn't want your works. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your gifts. In fact, he's insulted by it. Read Isaiah talking to Israel. They're going about their sacrifices and their burnt offerings and all of these things, see? Just as he said. But their heart was far from him. And he said, I'll tell you how that impresses me. Filthy garments. You're handing me a stinking, filthy cloth. Thanks so much. I'm not impressed. You're giving me nothing. It's this husk of stuff, of rituals. I wanted your heart. I wanted your service from a thankful heart. the fact that he allows us to do this means that he allowed us to become a son of God. We can serve him as a faithful child. And the seventh one is this. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, it means you have no insignificant activity in your life. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it by the name of Christ. Doesn't that make it significant? I want you to reevaluate your busy life right now. All those things that you kind of circled around as insignificant, doesn't make any difference. Think again. Isn't that amazing? He has not given you anything insignificant to do. Nor, in fact, can you do anything insignificant. Because as you do anything, it's going to take words and deeds. And they need to come from him, that direction, so you can give praise back to him for that. It's all inclusive, isn't it? Whatsoever you do in word or deed. Word actually includes the thought that produces the word. So reason and strength. It's recognizing what our dedication means and accepting that responsibility. So I thought it was a pretty dramatic verse. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You show giving thanks by doing it in his name. Let's pray. Father, you have shown us your truth. And in this one small verse, you've incorporated all of Christianity and everything that we do. We ask then that you might allow us to recognize that what may seem to us to be an insignificant thing can be a life-changing thing in ourselves and in others. Something that we take for granted could be the thing that shows someone else that here is a person who is thankful for everything that God has given him. We can make a difference in somebody's life by a word or a deed if it's done according to your direction and done so as to give thanks to you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, on a day that we focus on Thanksgiving and Thursday coming up to focus on Thanksgiving, I wonder if we might just pledge, dedicate, vow ourselves to him, that we'll have this renewed thought of everything in word or deed that we do will be just an outworking of his direction. And we'll turn it back to him in praise through Jesus Christ. Could we make that vow together? Father, we recognize that we sometimes relegate our activities as insignificant, but you want everything that we do in word or deed to be done as from God and to God. Then we'll understand it. Then this life will make sense. Then we will have a handle on what we're doing and why we're doing it, and recognize that we may not realize all the good that may come of it, but you do, and that's enough. So we pray thy blessing upon us. We thank you again for all that you've given us, this wonderful food, a great meal, and thank you for each one that gladly, happily put together this food to share with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.